Welcome back to Be More Super, the podcast, where we explore the world of entertainment with celebrity interviews from your favorite movies and TV shows. So grab your popcorn and let's get to know these stars better and what really makes them super. We are brought to you by PropStore.com, where you can find your very own piece of entertainment memorabilia from screen-used props to costumes. Now, here's your host, Brian Garner.
I haven't got a clue about hockey. I went to go and see hockey when I was a kid, the Nottingham Panthers against the Steelers. I even went to go and see
big
hockey.
Big fixture, that, I Brian. Know. That's like, that. There's a lot of blood in that one, pal.
And I even went to go and see the hockey in America. I went to watch the Washington Capitals against the Maple Leafs when I was about 10 years ago. So this show literally is hilarious. So it's currently on Crave in Canada. They've just released two episodes from season two, and there's six episodes to each season. You've got to go out and watch it for all our Canadian viewers. And then obviously on Hulu from the 27th of October. Oh, so ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tasha Telles. Tasha, welcome to the show, my love. Honestly, this show is just crazy. It really, really is. Can you hear us okay? Are we coming through loud and clear?
I can. Can you hear me?
Perfect. We can hear you perfect. But thank you so much for joining us on this live stream to talk about season two of Shoresy. I mean, if you could tell all the wonderful viewers a bit about the show and your character that you play on it.
Well, the show is about basically an underdog hockey team from a small town in the no-show. The no-show being the North Ontario Senior Hockey Organization. So even that in itself is an example of a joke that's laced into the script, which is so funny. The no-show league, you know, that's how bad this league is. This team is a beer league, and so they're fighting to win some games. And Nat, my character, inherited the game, the team from her mother. And she really doesn't, you know, want to let the team down. She wants to bring the community together and get some wins. But Shoresy is a bit of a handful. And so the two of them are trying to figure it out together how to win some games.
I mean, this show must have been absolutely crazy to work on. You know, this is quite a different role for you looking back at your past work. So what is it about Nat and being on this show that you thought, I need this role?
Oh my God. I mean, first of all, just to work with Jared Kiso in itself is such an honor. His writing and his acting, what he puts out there is unlike anything I've seen in television before. It's so original and so unique. I mean, it's a privilege to be a part of the cast. So I was thrilled right away, even though when he said to me, we're going to make a show, we're going to make the best hockey television or the best hockey show ever. And I was like, okay, I don't know even what that means yet. Because, you know, I've seen hockey. I'm Canadian, but I didn't know what that meant in the context of television, you know. And this show just takes on a life of its own. It's more than hockey. It's cool. It's funny. It's just a privilege to be there.
I mean, this is what I mentioned a moment ago. You know, I've seen a few hockey games in my life, but I don't know much about hockey. But this series, you don't need to know a lot about hockey because you don't see much of them playing hockey, to be fair. It's more about what happens in the locker rooms and what happens outside. It's only six episodes per season. I mean, that's the only thing. I want more episodes. Why six? Do you know why they only chose six and not 25?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think it's a format that they were working with, you know, when they did Letterkenny, their previous show. This show's a spin-off of, you know, Letterkenny, which is hilarious and amazing and has a cult following and its own thing. But Shoresy takes on a different flavor. It's more plot driven. It has a little bit more of a grounded feel. So going back to your question about playing in comedy, it's, you know, I worked with a lot of different coaches and I'm reading about comedy and immersing myself in comedy in a way that I hadn't done previously. And what some of my coaches have said is, you know, comedy and drama can be the same. It just depends on the soundtrack that you're playing behind it and the setups, you know, that live. Like, because the stakes are still the same, whether you're playing comedy or drama, you still really, your character still wants the thing that they want. But, you know, how they get there and how they fumble is a little bit different. But yeah, it's a learning process for me. It's been really cool to enter into this space.
I mean, how much of your knowledge of hockey did you have before starting this show? Was you a hockey fan or did you have to learn a lot before taking on the role?
I mean, like I said, I'm Canadian, so we grew up watching hockey. You know, a lot of our guys in school, they played hockey. They were on teams and such, but I didn't know much about the culture of the space and the arena and really much more than just watching hockey on television as I would any other sport. But so that's been another piece of the journey that I've really leaned into, is learning more about hockey. I mean, they have their own language, they have their own words for things, they have a totally unique culture that has been really fun to learn about.
I mean, you talk about words. One of the things I was going to ask you was, they're called sluts, which for me, I've literally, I was confused. I was thinking, are sluts the players or are they just insulting them? I mean, do they actually call hockey players sluts?
I don't think so. I think that was like a little sprinkle into the script for us, that the girls who run the show, that we call the hockey players sluts. You know, you don't date sluts. That's one of Nat's rules, is you don't date the sluts, because, you know, the hockey players, no, you just take them down.
I mean the show itself, I mean, is that a true reflection of what ice hockey is like in the AAA in Canada, or is that how things actually happen? Because if it does, we need to go over there, Dan. We need to visit. Because it sounds like it's a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like you guys are about to plan a trip to Sudbury, Ontario, because that is actually what it is like in Canada. You know, I think Jared really wanted the show to feel authentic. So we have real hockey players on the show, players that played in all different leagues, including the NHL. And they came, you know, they came onto the show and they bring that authenticity and they style the locker room the same way that they would do it in real life. And they have that relationship in the locker room and on the ice that is really, really, really sincere and authentic. Yeah, so that's exactly what it's like.
Do you feel like art imitates life at some points, Ashley? Like, so, for example, you know what blokes are like. You know what men are like. They get together and just start being blokes and lads. And then all of a sudden, it's not acting anymore. It's just blokes, you know, farting and burping and saying inappropriate things. Have you found it's descended into that while you've been filming?
Has it descended into that while we've been filming? I mean, yeah, I'm around a lot of guys now. You know, I'm
Oh, so you're doing the farting and burping.
Yes, exactly. So I've decided to join the party, you know? I'm like leading into it. Why not? No, I mean, I feel it's interesting being around all this male energy. It's really great. I grew up in a very female household, sisters, cousins, women. And so being in this space now is really interesting because it feels like I have a bunch of older brothers, you know, and they tease differently and we play differently and we hang out differently. So it's been cool.
And I've got to say, the great thing about this show is how fast-paced vocally the script is. You know, were there moments where you ad-libbed? Because it's so fast-paced. I mean, was it all scripted or was there moments where you just went off the rails a bit?
I think it's a little bit of both, depending also on the character. I have a relationship to scripts where I really try to honor what's on the page. But we do in little moments add little things here and there. But for the most part, we just stick to the script because Jared does such a good job. He spends so much time creating the rhythm and the dialogue. I mean, there's so many jokes. There's so many jokes that are layered into it. I'm still sometimes discovering new ones, which is beautiful. Like, there's a reference that will have gone right over my head in previous viewings until I'll, you know, see a movie and be like, oh, that's where that's from. But there's just so many of them that are woven in. It's brilliant. So I just stick to the script and I honor it. Yeah.
I mean, the writing on it is so well done, because it's very hard for comedy to translate over to, you know, other, you know, cultures and countries. So the fact that literally, I think I've watched season one now 3 times, because you're right. Every time you watch it, literally, you find something new, that another line, another joke that you didn't get the first time round. I mean, how on earth did you keep composed? Because you're quite serious in quite a lot of the scenes, and rightly so. You're trying to manage these group of hooligans, you know, to try and get bums on seats. So how did you keep composed during these scenes and not just break out laughing?
Well, we did break out laughing. we did break out laughing, or sometimes, you know, it's, You just have to learn how to compose yourself and just keep it going. I also stole a trick from Hannah Waddingham, from her. I heard her talk about being on Ted Lasso and staring at earlobes. So I will, like, sometimes when I, because I can't, like, when it's getting, when we really need to get the shot and I keep breaking, I can't make eye contact. I have to cheat a little bit and just try for this one last take to look like to someone's earlobe, because it's so funny and so grounded. Yeah.
Interesting point that you brought up, Hannah Waddingham. Sorry to interrupt, Tasha. My apologies. But, that, you know, that's an interesting point you brought up about Hannah Waddingham, because this is obviously going to draw some parallels with Ted Lasso and the type of show that it is, and you're playing essentially the Hannah Waddingham character, right? So here is this big powerful female who's taken over this sports team. I mean, you must look at that and think, well, you know, our show's got more jokes, ours is funnier, right? You must do that, right?
Our show. I think our show is one of the best shows that is on television right now. I think it's a really special show. So, and I think it has the ability, because it's a smaller Canadian show, to push the boundaries with the joke telling in a way that a show on a bigger network might not be able to. So there's some real risky jokes on our show, and I find that really important and really cool. I know. I think it makes our show unique to what else is out there. It's another one of those things. Yeah.
I mean, I've got to say as well that I heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's true, that Jared, that plays Shawzy, he had his tooth surgically removed for the role. Is that true? Because I read it in an article, and I don't know if that's just, you know, fabrication.
Did you see the show? Did you notice that when he smiles really, really big, there's no... Yeah, he got his tooth removed.
Wow.
You want to talk about commitment to authenticity? Right there is one of those examples. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And you say that it's one of the best shows on TV, and I completely agree. Even Rotten Tomatoes is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is awesome. Which it just shows that, obviously, you know, how good the cast and the writing and everything like that is. I mean, this is going to be a tough question to answer, because I'm sure that, you know, the whole show was memorable to work on. But is there a favourite moment that you've had so far that you can share with us about, you know, your time on set filming?
I mean, One of them has yet to come up in this season, in season two that's about to air. So I will refrain from that one. But I will say that the scene with Mark Michaels, the goalie, that Nat and Mark Michaels had when she went to go pick him up and convince him to come back to the team, that scene was so funny to film. Ryan McDonald did such an incredible job. That was one of those moments where I was just like using every ounce of willpower to not just burst out laughing in every 2 seconds. Because you guys remember the scene, right?
Yes,
do you know the scene
yes,
I refer
yes. Yeah, he's got rid of everything because of his, I think, ex-girlfriend and everything. Yeah.
He lost everything to his ex-girlfriend who took him for a ride. And he's sitting there in his underwear on a mattress on the floor. And he, you know, goes to his trophies and he's stroking like these trophies. But he does this like, he lowers himself with like a squat. Like before, like he just, his whole performance, his, you know, physical language. It was so funny. So there was that moment. That was really fun to shoot. And then there was Shorzy and Nat, the way we finished the first season, we had a really beautiful, still connected moment between Shorzy and Nat when they decided to go for it and keep the team going and go after the cup and winning the league. And I just found that a really beautiful moment between the characters, because that's when the contract is made and they have decided they're going to trust each other and they're going to try to do this together.
It's just a great Sorry, go on. They're gone.
I was going to say, do you feel that comedy shows need that every now and again? They need that moment to try and draw it back somewhat. Just a little bit of grounding, just half a second where you go, oh, wow, these are real people doing real people things. Because, for example, you've got Ted Lasso does it very well. In fact, there's more of that in there than I'd like, if I'm honest. You know what I mean? But like, if you look at shows like Always Sunny, they're very few and far between. I think, you know, there's a moment where Mac's character does a dance to come out as gay, or there's one where Charlie Day does a real powerful speech talking to his estranged father. And I feel like you need those in a comedy show to really ground it. And they must be, you know, because the jokes are so thick and fast and they're constantly coming, you need one of those moments to have a breath. And I suppose to some extent, they're probably one of the better scenes to film, right? It's something new for the period of shooting.
Well, all of the different scenes have different energies that they're serving, right? So it's like kind of noise to signal, and you want to have a balance between like what the message is and what we're talking about in those grounded moments. And then otherwise there's all of this movement and pace and great music and, you know, the way that the cameras are moving and the fights and all of that. All of the movement requires stillness to keep it balanced, to just keep the balance and the flow, for sure. And comedy itself, I think, serves a really important function for us. So I do think that reminding people that, you know, behind the comedy is real story. We have to laugh at the things that can be otherwise deeply upsetting. You know, we use it to survive. And so, I love that it stays grounded in those moments.
I mean, we've already had two episodes that dropped, and obviously they're coming out every Friday on Crave. What have we got to look forward to for the rest of the season without you spoiling anything? It's probably going to be really hard, but if you can do your best.
Well, we see that the boys have some distractions. We see that there's some girls in the mix. And I was always wondering if Nat was ever going to have a love interest. And so we see the suggestion, or we see something happening there. So that is really cool for Nat. Is, you know, Nat has a little flirtation happening.
Is it with one of the sluts? Would you demand to know if it's with one of the sluts that she's having a flirtation with?
How dare you?
Stay tuned here, kids.
Maybe.
Do you know what? I hope it's not Shorzy, because I want Shorzy to get with that reporter. Because
I know.
That is such the sweetest thing ever to see. You know, the way he speaks to her, and you know, so if there's anyone out there that needs any help with finding a loved one, take some notes out of Shaw's you know examples, because he does it so well. He really, really
Those are some of my favorite scenes. I actually just watched that episode again last night, and every time it comes with a friend, and every time that scene comes up, I'm like, this is my favorite scene, because just the way he communicates to her is so sincere and vulnerable and yet still cool, you know? It's still cool. He has the final word on that. He said, God, at the end, he finishes with, quote me. And then he takes a little sip of his cup, you know, because he's speaking to his reporter love interest. Yeah.
Well, Tasha, don't go anywhere. We're just going to do a message from our sponsors, and then we've got a few more questions before we bid our farewells. So here's a video from our sponsors. So that is a video from our sponsors from the 9th to the 12th of November. You're laughing now because you know what's coming, don't you, Dan?
I know what's coming. I'm very excited.
So obviously, PropStore.com sponsors the show. So if you need to find a perfect gift for a loved one or for yourself, and you fancy getting a screen-used piece of movie memorabilia, so that could be something that's being used on screen in your favourite TV or movie, go on to PropStore.com. We're going down in a few weeks to get our hands on such things as Marlon Brando's jacket from The Godfather, C-3PO's head from Star Wars, to Chris Evans' Captain America screen used. Yeah, exactly. We're going to do a photo shoot, Dan. So if all anyone wants to take advantage of our special code that we've got, you can get 10%.
What's the code, Brian? Do the code. Do the code, Brian. How do we get a discount? 10%, Brian.
Right.
Do the code.
You can get... Stop it, Dan. Stop it, Dan. Right. So if you want to get 10% off the buy now section of propstore.com, the code is... Are you ready, Dan?
I'm always ready.
It's Brian 10. Not Be More Super 10. No, it's Brian 10. It's hard to forget. Brian is one of those names that you usually name a pet, you know, like a dog. But Brian 10 is my name. Not Brian 10. That's just weird. It's Brian Garner. But Brian 10 is the code. So go on to propstore.com. And in a couple of weeks, you can see me and Dan messing about with some very expensive props. So the C-3PO head is estimated to fetch 500 to a million. 500,000.
Can we get 10% off that?
No, because that's in the auction, Dan. Nah, it's
boo,
only the buy now
boo,
section.
Boo on, Brian, let's go,
let's go back to our awesome guest. Thank you so much for bittering with us and not disappearing, thinking, what are these guys talking about?
So you know that popular program from about 10-15, I've just realized how many years ago it was now, that program that kids watch, Ben 10, right? I reckon Brian could do his own spin-off, similar to, you know, the one that you're in now, or like Frasier, right? And he could be like his middle-aged dad. Do you know what I mean? Like talking about how to bleed radiators and change it, you know, changing the oil filter on a 1997 Toyota Celica. You know, something like that. That's got legs on it, right? You know better than I do.
I think you're onto something there. Yeah. I was actually thinking that the whole time I was watching you guys.
Do you know what? I am rubbish at DIY. Do just ask the wife. Literally, I'd rather pay someone to come in and do it. You know, I put a shelf up and I think I've saved a life. Do you know what I mean? I walk off like proud with my chest out going, look at me, I'm a man. Do you know what I mean? So I wanted to just ask about your social media, because you've got quite a few followers. You've got 837,000 followers alone on Instagram. So how has your approach to your social media changed over your career?
That's a really, really funny question, because I think that is a evolving process. You know, I think at the beginning, I was just like, really open, really artistic. I didn't really think too much about things. I just posted things if I liked the framing of an image. And, you know, it felt like a bit like making a scrapbook. So there was things without much meaning that I would put up. But I, to me, it kind of felt like art. But now when I post, I try to keep it a little bit more thoughtful and meaningful and professional. And it's less of kind of like a developing art project, and it's more specific. But I like to interact with people on there. Like, I want to talk to people, you know, I like engaging with the people who follow me and hear what they have to say.
I mean, how much pressure do you feel? Because, you know, when you post something or you say something, your voice technically is so loud because it's reaching so many people. So do you ever worry about what you post, you know, opposed to just like doing your scrapbook?
Oh, all the time. You know, if we're going to be real, all the time. I am, you know, I try to be very thoughtful with how I do things, but you'd also don't want to lose sincerity or authenticity. You know, you don't want it to be so polished that it is unrelatable or means nothing. But, you know, sometimes you just want to do a little post, and you know, so it can't always be so serious. Life and work should be fun. You know, there should be times to be serious and times to be fun. And social media is interesting because it was a part of the job I didn't anticipate having to do, you know, but it's evolved to being a job or a outlet or, you know, a part of the job in and of itself. Yeah.
Do you not find it really weird when you know, like when you're scrolling, or are you just Instagram, or are you on Twitter as well, or X?
I'm on X. Yeah. I'm on X. I don't know, since it changed names, it feels different. I'm not on it as much.
That's because Elon ruined it, didn't he? Yeah, I mean, it's good for talking. It's good for putting a message out there, and just what you were saying there about, you know, seeing it as an art project. And I find Twitter like a social experiment. There's some wonderfully funny stuff on there. Like, really, there's nobody funnier than the general public when they really want to be. But X in general is an absolute toilet. Whereas Instagram is a little bit different. It's a tad more polished and it's a tad more polite. But have you ever had your, because I've got a bit of a Twitter following from another podcast that I do. So there's, and it's a lot about UK soccer and the football team that I follow. And I found it really weird that somebody had edited my head onto something. You know, it happens all the time. I've got my head on various people.
But that's my fault, Dan, that someone edited your head.
That's your fault? Were you the creative force?
What it was, there's a show called Warrior Nun that's got a massive following. And it's got a massive following around the world. And Dan hadn't watched the show. So I told the fandom that he hasn't watched it. So literally, they bombarded him with tweets or X's or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Now, it's so confusing. Every single day, and someone had made a video of Dan, took his face and put it on a video, and it was hilarious, and it was perfection. And this is, you know, which is great about the fans. And what I wanted to ask, obviously, the fans are very, very important to you, because You go to quite a few conventions as well, which is really nice to see. And I attend as press quite a few of them. But I've always wondered, from a guest's point of view, what's the worst thing and the best thing about going to conventions and appearing at them?
Well, the worst thing would be that I never feel like I have enough time, you know, and we're flying in usually, you know, from some place or another. So staying present and awake and dealing with the jet lag when you're traveling across the Atlantic quite a bit is, you know, it wears you down a bit, but I get so much joy and have so much fun when I'm there and get to see and experience the excitement and the stories and, you know, the things that they make art and books and stuff like that. And it's so meaningful. It's beautiful to know that the show or the character that you've worked on has touched them in this way. I love it. I love it so much.
I mean, you starred as Echo in The 100 that has got a massive following as well, enormous. I mean, what's been the most memorable interaction that you've had at a convention? Because, you know, I see it all from people giving guests teddy bears to other gifts. I mean, what's been the most memorable that you can remember of meeting a fan?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many different versions of it. I mean, sometimes these conventions, we can get pretty wild. Like, of one fan, like, we ended up exchanging clothes. So, I gave her, like, I have, like, a thing where I love kimonos, okay? So, I love kimonos. And she gave me her shirt, and I gave her my kimono, and she ran around, and we started this whole kind of clothing exchange at the convention. So, it brought like the fans together because everybody was kind of wearing each other's clothes.
Is that something that happens regular now? Is that like a thing you've started now? asking for a friend.
Yeah. Selfie or clothes swap.
Right. Would you like my shoe?
Shoes also available and shoes, on the table.
Yes. and she knitted me a purple kimono, which I have here, which is really cool. But that was, yeah, those are some of the fun games that we get to play when we're there.
Do you find that, like, these, I remember Michael J. Fox said it on at the Comic-Con over here a few years ago. He said that it's odd because people know your work better than you do. Like, it's really odd they know plot points or script points that you probably had no idea of because obviously you're shooting it and you're in that headspace and you're in that zone. And you get people repeating lines back to you that you can't remember you even said or did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes, because, you know, it's like I'm not still watching, you know, The 100 all the time. Only on Fridays and Saturdays. No, but so the scripts aren't living in me in the same way that they were when we were filming, but someone might have just watched it. And so they'll, you know, correct you if you can't remember or mistakenly, you know, made a bad reference to the show or remind you of things, and you'll be like, of course. Yep, totally remember that moment. But as I'm sure you've heard when we've...
Oh. 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 Oh, oh, there we go. Hello.
Oh, she's back.
Yep.
You're back. Surprise. Yeah, it's long days. There's a lot happening on set. So to retain everything is difficult for sure.
I wanted to ask as well that you know, looking at your IMDb, it's so impressive. You've done so many projects. Have you kept any mementos, any like prop pieces, costumes?
What did you steal, Tassia? Yeah. What have you stolen? What have you stolen? And can we buy it?
Buy it? No, swap it. Swap it, Dan. Swap it, Dan, for your T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll do a trade. We can barter. Now we're
there
done.
There we go.
I have taken tiny little mementos that no one would ever realize is gone, for sure.
She's looking around the room.
I have a painting of...
Yeah. What's in the background?
Yeah.
I got my couch. I have a few lamps. I have Echo's jacket. I have a painting of one of my colleagues, Richard Harmon. It's this very like stoic painting because his character became a god. So I saw it on the wall and I was just like, I need that because that's hilarious. So I have his face on the wall. And then, I mean, I think like otherwise it's like little tiny. I think I stole like a salt and pepper shaker from Supernatural and I don't know, just other weird little hobnobs. I have a sword.
Do you know what? A sword. A sword. So from salt and pepper to a sword. I mean, I tell you what,
Brian. I've just realised something actually now. So for you guys listening at home, normally we get the guest on early. We have a bit of a sound check with them, things like that. I've just realised now that Tasha came. She came in raw. She came in hardcore. And fortunately, mm-hmm. had no issues. What she was doing was checking her background for all the things that she's robbed. She's moving swords. She's moving salt and pepper shakers. That's props. That's what she was. She was just that, yeah. If you zoom out,
literally
it's just
did
stuff
that.
That you've done.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at.
Oh dear. I think
all
on
the salt
I think
pepper shakers.
Yeah, I was just about to say I think on this software that I'm using I can pan the camera around. No, I can't. Just in case. But no, I had a guest on a while back, Anna Hopkins, and she was in like The Expanse and Bad Blood and everything like that. She was marvelous. She's just fantastic. And she mentioned that the end of the shows that they give you an opportunity to actually buy a lot of the designer clothes, like for like really cheap. Do you get a chance to do that as well?
First of all, I know Anna since college, and I love her, and I'm so excited that you guys spoke with her. She's such a doll. And second of all, they give you an opportunity to buy some of the clothes from, or depending on the show and depending on the season, like on the 100, when we finished the 100, it was COVID. And so they didn't have anywhere to bring the items, the props or the whatnot. So me and a colleague were invited to take some things and we did.
You backed up the truck. You opened it up and you just loaded it all in there, which is currently going to be in the next prop store auction. It's going to be the Tasha Tellez collection of props from the 100. I mean, you've played so many characters, but is there a dream role that you're striving to play? Is there like a dream sort of genre that you've always wanted to do? Because you've done near enough, I would say, all of them near enough.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't, well, I really would like to do, I love these kind of epic dramas like Game of Thrones or like The 100, you know, like when they gave me a sword and I got to ride in on a horse, I just felt so cool. I was like, this is the best. Granted, I was covered with blood and it was raining outside and it was and I was like, it doesn't feel often or sometimes quite as majestic as when you actually see it on the screen. But I mean, you get to do all of these really unworldly things, and I find that about science fiction really enticing. And of course, you know, the superhero world, like in the Marvel universe, I would love to live in that world as well. I love comedy. Shorzy has just really got me like excited about working more in the comedy space. So, just keep on doing what I'm doing. I feel like I'm so grateful to be on such amazing projects that I just want to keep on going.
Would you ever want to do something like, you know, like one of those British period dramas like Downton Abbey or something, like, you know, just a guy who walks in, you know, just you just come sashaying in all your finery and go, there's a lady at the door, and then leave and that'd be it. How's your British accent? Could you pull that off?
It depends if you want to do British RP.
That is really good. That was good.
Oh, thank you. I learned that when they say pretty, they don't say why, they say pretty. It's pretty, pretty. Or like there's these little things that I learned when I was studying British RP, but then there's, of course, different styles of British accents. But
oh, yes, there is.
Don't.
Yeah, so for example, you've got the one that's a favourite internet meme right now, where it's the Cockney accent and people keep saying a bottle of water. And they think it's hilarious and really original. Yeah, yeah. But
really original.
So there's no tease. Yeah, there's no tease in it. But then where Brian and I are from at the northern part of England, there's a few words that give us away. So obviously, you know, and this is going to shock you. This is our posh accents that we're putting on for this show.
Oh, bye. Gonna get...
I was boring everybody. But yeah, I was just saying that the British accents that we do, Brian, we have a number of words that give us away. And so for me, it's make, break, and take. So for where I'm from, it's mech, break, and tech. And and bath and grass and dance, Brian, yeah?
Yes, bath, grass. But I don't think I've got an accent, to be honest. But yet, when I go over to the States, for some reason, I sound like Hugh Grant. And I don't know why. You sort of, they say cheerio, and you say cheerio. But Dan, you're more northern. You're like 20 miles above me. So, you know, that's where the cavemen live. So.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Viking influence where we're from, Tassia. So, you know what I mean? There's a lot of guttural, awful noises that just come out. Like if I go... If there's somebody that comes in and they're speaking, like you say, British RP, and they're just like, I'm going to the shop. Would anybody like anything? Whereas up north we'll go in shop, do you want aught? Which isn't even words. The only one you can pick up in there is shop.
And you have to listen carefully.
But then,
you really got to pay attention.
But then saying that, the Canadian accent in Shoresy, I think, is beautiful. I love the Canadian accents. I really, really do. Just a few more questions, just two more before we bid farewell. If you could act opposite anyone at all in the industry for one project, who would that be and why?
Oh man, I mean, there's so many. That's always such a difficult question to answer, and I always change it depending on my mood because it's a long list. And I feel like I would love to work opposite Ryan Reynolds. We went to the same high school together, and he just looks like he's fun to work with. And I just wanna have a nice time and have a good laugh with him, but also, I want to work opposite Cate Blanchett or Meryl Streep or Emma Thompson or women, you know, that have that wisdom and that you really have to step up your game when you're working with them, and you really have to, you know, make sure that you've honed in on your craft and done your best work to meet them at their level. So.
Well, thank goodness I said that question and I didn't ask who didn't you want to work with ever. That would have been straight away.
That's now, also a long list.
but Brian and Dan being the top of it.
Exactly. Yeah, don't work with animals, children, or Brian and Dan. I mean, I've got to say, Ryan Reynolds, though, please say he was horrible at high school because he's just too nice, isn't he? I mean, was he nice at high school? Can you remember? Was he, you know, not very nice, or was he nice?
Well, he had graduated when I first came in. So I remember we were running around in PE and we had to wear, you know, white shirts and blue shorts, and it all looked very clunky because, you know, you're 13 years old and you're running there with all the girls around the field. And then there he was, gracefully throwing a football with his friends, and all of the girls are just like, you know, totally distracted in that moment. But I never met him in high school, but he used to be around the school, like in the football field and stuff like that.
And now he's a Canadian national treasure, apparently. You know, which is great, because people forget how many great actors are actually from Canada. You know, you've got Kiefer Sutherland. You've got yourself, of course. You've got Michael J. Fox. You know, so many great actors are from the wonderful country of Canada. So while we all enjoy season 2 of Shoresy, What's next for you? Is it a case of you're enjoying the show while it's coming out and having a break, or are you working on other things at the moment?
Always working on other things. Always, you know, keeping that ball in the air. Working on scripts with friends, working on, working on comedy, working on learning how to direct, and working on just kind of expanding the storytelling skills, you know, that I've gathered so far and taking it to the next level. So lots of things that I'm working on, and we'll see. Well, hopefully next time we chat, we can talk about those.
Excellent. Tasha, you've been a great guest. It's been wonderful to have you on. I'm absolutely loving Shawzy. Can't wait to see the rest. And I can't wait to see which slot you get with for season two. My guess is, I don't know.
It was a mild suggestion.
I mean, could it be Terry Ryan? Could it be, you know, Ryan McDonald? Who knows? So we need to have a prediction, Dan, and we need to put it out there. So if anyone's watching that wants to comment, please do. But there isn't a live stream next week or the week after, because I'm going away with the wife next week and Dan is going away as well. So join us back on the 25th of October, where we're going to have a spooky Halloween edition. Talking about the Enfield Haunting, which is a new documentary series that's coming out on Apple TV. I don't know if you know, are you a believer in spirits and ghosts and stuff like that?
Oh yeah. They're around us all the time. They're with some of the furniture that I have from set.
Thank you for listening to Be More Super, the podcast. This podcast has been brought to you by PropStore.com. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review. To stay up to date with Be More Super and get all the behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at Be More Super the Podcast and on Twitter at Be More Super. Keep safe and stay super.